As the ebb tide progressed, the current accelerated. Where the river narrowed at a site now crossed by the Pont de Québec and the Pont Pierre-Laporte, the boats reached a maximum speed of 5.7 knots. Around 3 a.m., the first eight boats fell in with the sloop Hunter, whose captain passed on the news that two French deserters had paddled out to the sloop and revealed that 19 French boats carrying provisions were expected to come down the St. Lawrence to Quebec that night. But the convoy wasn't coming. At some time in the night, Bougainville had ordered the bateaux to remain at Cap Rouge, but he did not communicate this decision to his detachments on the Quebec promontory. Armed with this information, the British bluffed their way past a series of French outposts. Around 4 a.m., the lead landing craft commanded by Lieutenant Gordon Skelly touched ground near the Anse-au-Foulon, where the cliff was nearly perpendicular. Skelly was looking into pre-industrial darkness, illuminated only by the quarter moon and the faintest hint of dawn on the eastern horizon. The 55-meter cliff blotted out the stars. The lieutenant's first thought was that the venture was impossible. The landing proceeded regardless. Seven more boats grounded on the shore and 400 soldiers leaped over the bows. As the light infantry force swarmed the shore, its commander, Lieutenant Colonel William Howe, pondered what to do next, and perhaps spared a moment to reflect upon the advisability of listening to the expert opinion of naval officers. Commander James Chads, who was in charge of the landing craft flotilla, had warned that the speed of the tide would hurry the boats beyond the objective. Chads had been exactly right. The light infantry had reached the north shore, but in the wrong place. Wolfe had planned to land above the Foulon and make a quick advance up the roadway. The tide had carried the British too far downriver. Instead of losing time looking for the road, Howe led his troops straight up the cliff. Some sections were easily climbable, others practically vertical. Down below, Captain William Delon and 24 troops ran back towards the Foulon Road, while the boats remained on the shore ready to evacuate the soldiers if they were thrown back by the French. While the light infantry scaled the promontory, the first wave of the main body reached the Anse-au-Foulon. More accurate, or more fortunate in their navigation, they landed much nearer the target. Although still on the wrong side of the Saint-Denis Brook, they were conveniently close to the roadway. Back at the Anse-au-Foulon, Skelly and the landing craft crews waited in suspense. While our people were attempting to mount the eminence, we kept our boats close in case of a retreat. We heard nothing but war whoops and cries which the enemy made use of to make their numbers seem even greater as they fired upon us from the bushes. Neither Wolfe nor anyone else in the boats or on the beach knew if the attack up the cliffs would end in victory and an aggressive advance to the city walls, or defeat and a humiliating retreat downriver, putting an end to the Quebec campaign.